This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Earlier this month, we spoke with Corrections Commissioner Lisa Menard, and we got an update on the more than 200 Vermont prisoners serving their sentences out of state. That prompted a comment from a listener who said he wanted to hear about juveniles in out-of-state facilities. So we reached out to the Department for Children and Families, the agency responsible for the vast majority of Vermont minors who are in out-of-state programs. And here to speak with us about those children is DCF Commissioner Ken Schatz. Welcome back to the show, Commissioner.
Thank you very much.
Can you just, first of all, give us some stats? How many minors does DCF have in custody today?
Approximately 1,350.
And how many of these young people could be eligible for some kind of residential out-of-state program?
Well, any of them technically could be eligible for that type of program. And I do want to be clear, that number is we have a blended system of children who are in our custody because of child protection needs and also because of involvement with the youth justice system.
Right. So some of these kids are, for example, kids who are in foster care, who have been removed from unsafe situations with their families. Some of them may have been through the juvenile justice system.
That's correct.
Okay. But any of these children, you say, might be eligible to go to a residential treatment program. So what kinds of treatment programs are you talking about?
So really, we reserve the use of residential treatment programs only for those situations where we can't provide the appropriate safety and protection and support within their community. So in the first instance, we want to do the best we can to enable children to stay with their families. Or as you indicated correctly, sometimes they're in foster homes. And what we do really work hard is to try to provide a level of support to enable children to stay close to home. But sometimes they have certain treatment needs that are beyond our capacity within our communities in family type environments to meet their needs. So oftentimes those involve mental health issues, sometimes substance abuse issues, sometimes sexually aggressive behavior where it's not appropriate to be in a family-like environment. And so we do utilize residential treatment programs both within Vermont and out of state.
Yeah. And what's the difference between a young person who would go to a treatment facility or to a facility out of state versus in-state ones?
Actually, it's a matter of capacity and need, so that we do have an array of excellent programs within Vermont. Interestingly enough, because of the makeup of our state and our geography, interestingly enough, sometimes programs in New Hampshire or Massachusetts might actually be closer to the home of an individual. So we'll try to, if a child needs to be in a residential treatment program, we'll try to put them in the appropriate program to best meet their needs and within appropriate and hopefully close proximity to where they live.
Go ahead. No, go right ahead.
What I was going to say is just to give you some sense of the numbers, we have a total right now of 145 Vermont children and youth who are in the custody of the Department for Children and Families who are in residential care. 87 of them are placed in in-state group homes or residential programs. 58 are in out-of-state placements. Of those 58 who are in out-of-state programs, 47 of them are placed in New Hampshire or Massachusetts. So they're actually relatively close to their homes. 11 are placed more out of the region in terms of needing more intensive type programs that are not available close by.
So is the goal to have everybody be able to get treatment in the state, or is it a situation where there's sort of an economy of scale and there are programs that we're never going to have here?
I think the latter is accurate. I mean, the goal, of course, is to provide appropriate treatment and care. And to the extent we can provide that close to home, that's what we want to do. But as you indicated, there are certain types of situations where we simply, being a small state, don't have large numbers of youth who have certain types of behaviors. And so we do need to take advantage of those programs in other places.
You know, when we were talking with Commissioner Menard about prisoners in the criminal justice system who are serving their sentences out of state, one of the things that we talk about always is that there are real challenges, you know, connecting with your family and support networks. Sometimes other facilities that are not run in Vermont have different rules or might have fewer treatment options, might have less of an ability for people to get educational opportunities. How do you assess that for DCF, for minors who are going to out-of-state treatment programs?
So we're really cognizant that people going to children and youth are going to return to their community. So one of the things that I appreciate is our staff educated me about as in preparing for this was that we really think about returning home from the day they go to a residential program out of state. So we're working with family and have in mind, their family service worker has in mind the goal of enabling them to return home to reconnect with their school, with education and other education opportunities, and also in terms of youth who are getting close to being independent, to enable them to move towards employment opportunities in their community.
But what does that mean then specifically? I mean, if you're sending somebody to an out-of-state treatment facility because of sexual proclivities, how do you then also say, but we're going to make sure that you're getting the appropriate support to return to your community?
So aftercare and transition plans are a critical part of any treatment plan for a youth in a residential program, so that we'll want to be talking and thinking about when they return to Vermont, where are they going to live, what level of additional support will they need to be successful upon their return to the community. So that will be built into the treatment plan approach while they're in the residential program.
The Woodside Juvenile Detention Facility, a couple years ago in 2011, started transitioning from a facility that was mostly used for students who were given sentences in the juvenile justice system to one that was more treatment-based. It sounds like perhaps more holistic for young people who have various different mental health needs or addiction needs. So what is happening in the juvenile justice system for young people who are given sentences? Do they also go to Woodside? And how do you then figure out the right population at that facility?
So I appreciate that question to try to clarify a couple of things. With respect to Woodside, with the legislative leadership, we have actually since 2011 transitioned Woodside, so it's no longer a detention facility. It is now a treatment program focusing on addressing the treatment needs of youth who are placed there. And in fact, the whole juvenile justice system does not actually have sentences. It is a treatment-oriented approach, so that from day one, if a youth who is found to have been committed a delinquent act, if placed in DCF custody, we try to provide a restorative approach to hold the youth accountable, to repair the harm to the victim in the community, and then to address any particular treatment needs that arise. So we utilize the array of services and programs to meet the needs of the youth, whether they come into our system because of child protection issues or through the youth justice system.
And do you have capacity for that?
Well, we are challenged, as you know from prior conversations, particularly our child protection system has continued to have high numbers of children coming into custody, primarily young children driven by the opioid epidemic. But interestingly enough, with respect to the population coming into our custody with respect to delinquencies, those numbers have actually gone down a little bit. So that with respect to our youth justice system, we are doing the best we can within our existing resources to meet the needs of those youth.
The listener who wrote in to us has a spouse who works in this field or a related field. And one of the questions that was asked was, you know, a lot of the records are sealed when it comes to minors. So how do you check against abuses or even bad outcomes in the system when the public really doesn't have access to these documents?
So what we do provide is information and data on a regular basis to the legislature. On our website, we have a variety of pieces of information, including a scorecard. And so we definitely do appreciate the need to be held accountable as a system. You know, we always want to improve our services and programs. But with respect to the individuals, we think it's really important to maintain that confidentiality so that those youth who may have committed a mistake during their formative years can go ahead and are able to get jobs without presenting the obstacle of having the stigma of being involved with the child welfare system or involved with delinquencies. So I think that we do publish a variety of systemic information regarding outcomes, but trying to maintain the confidentiality of individuals.
That's Ken Schatz, Commissioner of the Department for Children and Families. Thanks very much for talking with us about young Vermonters in the custody of your department who might be out of state.
Thank you very much.